Hi, Smatters.
Hey.
Hey. How has your week been?
Well, right now, I'm rallying and having the best candy bar ever.
Nobody likes that candy bar.
Everybody loves this
no,
candy
they
bar.
Don't. Y'all, he's eating a 100 grand candy bar. Nobody likes those. I get pissed off when I get them for Halloween.
Who would not love these? It's chocolate, caramel, and some crispy crunchies. I mean, come on.
That's gross. No, thank you.
But as far as my week goes,
mm-hmm.
It's really damn hot all week.
Is it?
We're in the middle of a major heat wave.
We've been in the realms of hell for a while, though.
Yeah, but parts of the EU are starting to feel it now. Like, it's been really hot over there, and they're definitely not used to it. It's like record-breaking for them.
Well, you know what made my week this week?
What?
American Horror Story coming back on.
That was a pretty good episode that came out.
It was very unlike American Horror Story, I guess. But the end made it all worthwhile. Because while I was watching, I was like, this is all right.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
But then the end tied it together. So if y'all haven't watched it and y'all are huge fans of American Horror Story, it's weird if you haven't. Go watch it, because the ending, just get through the first half of it. And once you see the ending, you'll be like, that was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you going for my Cinnabon now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, American Horror Story.
Myrtle was cool.
Young Myrtle was very cool. I have a bone to pick with them, because I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts, as I always do, and they had an ad for American Horror Story.
Say what?
I was so jealous. I was like, one day, Supernatural Smut is going to be so big that American Horror Story wants us to do an ad for them.
Yep.
Yes. So
I'm right there along with you, babe.
AHS, if you're listening, hit us up.
Or actually FX Networks.
Oh, whatever. I like American Horror Story better.
I really miss Emma Roberts, though.
Oh, she's always one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Her sassy little attitude. I love her.
Oh, too. And she's really hot.
She's wonderful. She got a baby now, so I don't think she like really does it anymore.
I'm sure she does.
Evan Peters is still on there. He's always...
Wait a minute. Didn't she date him or...
Yeah, they were engaged for a long time. And then they broke up or something.
Yeah, because she went to jail over it.
Yeah. For spouse abuse
or
something.
For beating his ass, yeah.
But, which is not funny. It can happen to boy or girl. But yeah, Evan Peters is still on it. He was not on this episode, but he's wonderful in American Horror Story. He can literally play any character they throw out at him. And he is just absolutely fantastic in any character he does. I think one of my favorites that he did was Mr. March in, was it Hotel? I think it was Hotel, where he was Mr. March, and he was kind of like an H.H. Holmes kind of character. I loved him. And God, I'm probably so wrong right now. They're going to be like, you're really a fan. But yeah, I just thought he was fantastic as Mr. March, and, you know, just his craziness. I loved it so much. He just did such a great job at it. Okay. But I feel like there was more I wanted to say, but I always try to take notes about what happened. And the only note that I really took was, why can't American Horror Story sponsor us?
Plus, too. Not everybody's seen it yet. Like, it recently came out, so you don't want to spoil it for everybody.
I really don't.
Sorry.
You okay?
Oh, excuse me, guys. They went down the wrong pipe.
Okay. So tonight, we are doing a story, and it's a very cool story, y'all. I was taking these notes, and it took me, God, I was doing notes for hours today, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were.
I've got 11 pages worth of notes, because this is such, it's a very long story, and y'all are going to love this. It goes through different generations.
8,000 years.
So we're going to go through 800 years of generations.
Oh. Also, if you're big nerds like us, Comic-Con's this week.
Oh, man.
San Diego Comic-Con. The big one. So I just saw... I sent it to you on text. Black Panther 2.
Oh, about Atlantis.
Yeah, supposedly they're fighting Atlantis or whatever. They did a teaser trailer, which was pretty cool.
Wakanda Forever.
And a lot of the new movies coming out. But one of the things I was interested in, and disappointed in too, actually, was for one, Black Adam, The Rock, came out full costume, which was really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, there was a huge rumor, and everybody speculated it to be true. Henry Cavill would be there, talking about reprising his role as Superman, but he didn't show up. So that was kind of a letdown. There's still time. I just hope they don't replace him because he's a really good Superman.
He's wonderful. He is Superman. I mean, not the super. You know what I mean? Not the original. Not Christopher Reeves or anything.
And since we're talking about geek stuff, before we get into your story, I don't know if anybody collects any things or not. We used to do Funkos a while back, but if anybody does Star Wars collectibles. The new Black Series has come out, and they're doing a Halloween theme.
Y'all, oh my gosh. I'm cool. So glad you said that. The Halloween themes, he showed me pictures, y'all. I'm so fucking excited. It showed, what was it? Was it like Vader is a skeleton or something, and Chewbacca was a werewolf?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was so cool, y'all. I'm snatching those up as soon as they come out.
Yeah, they were super cool. Of course, I guess our next... major holiday is it Halloween?
Well, it's your birthday.
Well, that's a federal holiday.
But yes, our next major holiday is Halloween, and I saw a thing today that I think it was wrong because it said 100 days away, and I think it was kind of off. But y'all, we're getting close. We're getting close. Is that right? 100 days?
30 and 30. Okay. 90. I think August has 31 days in it. July does. So there's another 2 days.
So about 100 days. Okay. And that also means Frankenberry cereal is about to start coming out, y'all. I'm just so excited
for fall weather, honestly.
Me too.
Anyways, okay. Getting your story. Sorry.
Okay. So this story,
Carmen, bro,
is crazy. Fuck you, Barry. And we're going to England. We go into England.
Wow. Was that really supposed to be a accurate accent?
Yes. Essex.
It bloody sucks.
You bloody suck. Okay.
Speaking of bloody, how about Ashlyn tonight?
Y'all, our daughter had us dye her hair and it was bright. It was like actual red, not like...
Like a murder death.
Like she stabbed somebody red. And she came down here. And y'all, her face is pink.
And she's really pale.
She's very pale.
So
her face is pink and her chest is pink because she didn't scrub it off of her face when she took a shower. So now she's got like this red hair underneath. And her hair looks really pretty, by the way. It's blonde with red underneath it. And it turned out really good. She's got like, it looks like drops coming down her face that are stained on there. Poor Precious.
I know.
She's precious. Okay, so we're doing the Borley Rectory tonight. And this is such a fun story because it goes through so many families. And we're just going to dive into it because it's going to be kind of a long story. So, as I said, it's in Essex, England. The Borley Rectory is known as England's most haunted home. It was built by Reverend Henry Dawson Ellis Bull, and it was completed in 1863. Henry had a family, he had a wife, and do you know how many children he had?
How many?
Take a guess.
3790.
No, but close. He had 14. Yikes.
Wow.
Okay.
Stay off her.
Okay. So Henry was the rector of the parish for Borley Church, and there were rumors that the ground used to be home to, before they built on it, to a monastery for monks, obviously. And down the street was a nunnery, okay? So one day, we have this nice little monk walking around, and then he runs into this hot little nun, and, you know...
Nuns.
This monk and a nun. They hit it off. They instantly fell in love. They had secret little rendezvous in the woods. They'd meet up.
Wow.
And they finally decided that they were just going to run away and get married. That obviously this was not the life that they should have chosen. And they want to start their new life and go get married. So... they came up with a plan, and they got a coachman to take them away to their new life, and they would have lived happily ever after, but things happened.
Rut-row. Was God angry?
Maybe. There's different accounts of what happened. So the first account is they got in a fight and the monk strangled the nun and he got caught and was hung for it. Now here's the thing. I don't buy this because monks don't get angry like that and kill people.
Have you not seen those crazy flying monks that can do like amazing superhuman things? Isn't like that, they train their entire lives to...
To fly?
To do all kind of crazy stuff. I was watching a... YouTube video of it the other day, and these monks are just freaking crazy on the stuff they can do.
Really?
Yes.
That's cool.
Like,
but do they like?
You ever heard of the Shaolin monks that they're like ninjas?
Well, yeah. Isn't that a movie?
Probably.
Okay, so I mean, yeah, but they've also got great discipline. They've taught themselves discipline, right? Isn't that a thing that monks do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't think, like, he'd just fly off the handle and strangle his new wife. I just don't think that
would
be...
Well, I mean, you never know.
She probably got a little mouthy.
Also read, too, not to change the subject, but there is a husband currently being held in Fiji. You know the resort, Turtle Island?
Obviously. That's where we vacation every other month.
You know, we wanted to go there. It's also where the Blue Lagoon was filmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they only allow 14 couples at a time to be there.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons we were looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, there's a husband that's in Fiji jail right now for suspicion of killing his wife on their honeymoon. Been married just a few days. They go to the most romantic place in the entire universe, and she's dead. And they're saying that he did it. So
that happens a
people
lot.
People snap.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
I'm going to snap on you.
Try.
The second account, though... They were caught together, and they weren't supposed to be together, so the monk was hung.
Like in The Mummy.
And the nun was boarded up in the cellar of the monastery.
Like the mummy.
So, here's the thing.
The movie The Mummy.
The problem is, there were never any records of a monastery being on the grounds. There's no record of a nun being killed that way or getting in trouble.
Well, I'm sure they wouldn't advertise it.
There is a record, though, of a nun haunting the Borley Rectory. And if you don't know what a rectory is, because I had to look this up, the rector is like the head of the clergy in charge of the parish for the church. Now, he gets a rectory pretty much like a house that the church provides, is what I gathered. I looked it up several times, but I think it's like a house that the church provides since he is the head of the clergy, and that is called the rectory. So, learn something new. Now, the house that they had, the Borley Rectory, it was huge. It had stables, 32 rooms, 11 bedrooms, a cottage, and 9 acres of land. That sounds like our summer home.
Mm-hmm.
Henry was said to have built a cottage facing the woods in a path the family called the Nun's Walk because he wanted to talk to the ghost of the nun that was seen. On many occasions, he saw her walking the path, but he was never able to talk to her. So when he saw her, he would run up to her, and she would vanish as soon as he got to her. Four of his daughters saw the nun, and when three were coming home from a party, Mabel, Ethel, and Frida, they were walking up to the house and saw her and thought it was a real nun. But they then noticed she was floating and not walking, and she didn't look happy. So they got scared and they ran inside and got their sister Caroline. Caroline said it was probably just a nun running an errand for the church. So Caroline went to see what the nun needed, and as she was running up to talk to her, do you know what happened?
What happened?
Caroline got up to her and the nun vanished. So the girls told the dad, and the dad wasn't surprised at all. He was like, yeah, that's why I built that cottage, so I could watch her. Which, the mom, okay, the mom's being wonderful, and she hasn't said anything. I wouldn't have kept my mouth shut. I'd be like, why are you building a special little cottage so you can watch this nun walk up and down a path? You know? Because he kind of moved into the cottage and left her with the 14 children. So... different times, I guess. So, he built the cottage so he could watch her. So, pretty much everyone had a weird experience at the Borley Rectory. It was known in town as a haunted place to avoid. Many stories went around. People would see the nun leaning over the gate like she was waiting on someone. And people even saw a man standing in one of the windows, but it wasn't Henry or any of the kids. Sightings were getting so frequent, they boarded up the window. And in 1916, Edward Cooper and his wife moved into the cottage. Edward worked as a coachman and a gardener for the family, and they only stayed for 4 years because things got crazy immediately, y'all. As soon as they moved in. They would go to bed, and Edward's wife thought she was hearing voices and footsteps above the bedroom. For a little bit, she made excuses and ignored it, thought maybe a bird or something had flown in and, you know, got stuck up there. It was a mouse or something like that. But one night, the noises were so loud and continued into the next day. So she and Edward went up to the attic to see what was going on. Ooh, what do you think they found?
A nun.
When they got up there, they found darkness there and nothing more. All right, y'all. That's an Edgar Allan Poe joke. And if y'all don't get it, we're not friends because that was from The Raven. But no, when they got up to the attic, there was nothing out of place. No animals or anything was there. So I think anything being in there would have been better than what they thought it was, you know?
Right.
Like seeing some kind of animal up there or something, they would have been like, okay, good, it's not haunted. But nothing, you know, had gotten in there, and it terrified them. So after that day, Edward came home and asked his wife if she saw a nun walking around the rectory today. He said when he saw her movements...
I don't understand what a rectory is.
I just explained it. Did you not listen?
No, I'm rallying.
You don't listen to me.
I listen all the time.
No. But he said that her movements were really weird. So he followed her to the road, and as soon as he got up to her, she disappeared. Now, when you think of somebody saying a ghost's movements are really weird, and you think of all those scary movies where the ghost is doing that weird shit, that weird walk, you know?
Yeah.
That's terrifying. But I'm betting he's probably like she was floating and not, she just didn't walk, so she was moving kind of weird. She was really fast to not be walking. So let's see here, where was I? He got up to her and she vanished. So now the family always saw the nun. They would hear loud crashes, banging. They would see eerie black shapes. Then in 1892, Henry passed away.
Uh-oh.
It's fine. His son, Harry, took over the rector, so the family continued to live there. He took over the rectory. He was the new rector, I guess. And he lived there 35 more years in the rectory, and the hauntings kept on going. A friend of Harry's would come vacation there and would see stones falling from nowhere, objects moving, The Nun and a Coach Driven by Headless Horsemen.
Say what?
You weren't listening, were you?
The Headless Horseman.
The Headless Horseman. Which, that's insane. Okay, so...
Is that where the story came from?
No. Oh. No, because the Headless Horseman took place in New York. Eventually, Harry died, and the rectory was offered to 12 different clergymen. They all said, no thank you. Nobody wanted to live there. So the rectory sat vacant for 6 months. Finally, a reverend named Guy Eric Smith moved to England with his wife from India. So, this couple, y'all, my heart goes out to this couple. Because they were offered the rectory without being told that it was haunted. Okay? They, you know, they move here and the church is like, you know what? We've got this great place you can live. It's ready to move in. Y'all just get your stuff and move on in. And it's just two of them in a 32-room house, okay?
Yeah.
So they're like, that's wonderful. And they moved in and they were not believers of the paranormal, which that didn't last very long. Because as soon as they did move in, they started hearing the voices. The wife walked by a bedroom and heard someone say, Carlos, don't. It was in the blue bedroom, which is the most haunted bedroom. They would hear footsteps. They would see the nun. And while Mrs. Smith was cleaning a cupboard, she found a lady's skull wrapped in a brown paper. So, there's just all kinds of stuff. But what really sucks is, after they moved in, you know, before they did, everybody was like, this place is great, go ahead and move in. But after they moved in and they'd go into town, people would run up to them and be like, let me tell you about this haunted thing that happened to me at your house. And, you know, like the whole town would come up and tell them stories about their haunted house. And it kind of, it got to them. They weren't happy about it at all. And they wrote to the newspaper asking for help with all and talking about all that was going on. So Harry Price saw their ad in the paper and wanted to help. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if y'all know who Harry Price is. He is basically the original ghost hunter, okay? We'll get into him more, but there's a lot of stories about Harry Price, and I'm sure we'll do more that have Harry Price included in it. So, he wanted to help, and he was a parapsychologist and a magician. He brought Vernon Hall with him, and Vernon worked at the paper, and was mainly there as a witness to what was found, so it wasn't just Harry saying, oh, I saw this. He'd have somebody with him to be like, yeah, he did. I was there, you know? So, he brought him with him, and the first place they went was Nun's Walk. They started looking, and Vernon saw the nun, so he thought. Harry didn't quite believe him. He was like, I didn't see her, you know, but maybe you did. I don't know. But what did happen was that a brick smashed through the roof and fell next to them. A brick.
Oh, whoa.
They go upstairs to see where it came from, and they hear a loud crash, and a glass candlestick flies at them. After that, Harry wanted to run downstairs and turn the lights off, because obviously you get more activity when the light's off, right? So while they're waiting, Vernon, poor Vernon, he says something hit him in the head, and then they see a mothball rolling down the stairs. After that, the servant bells all start ringing. Now, here's the thing. It says servant bells. Now, what it made me think of, if y'all remember the the Disney movie Cinderella, where the stepmother starts ringing the bell when she wakes up, calling her for her breakfast or whatever, and then the stepsisters start ringing their bells and she's down like in the quarters or whatever. So that's what it kind of reminded me of, was them hitting that little thing and all these bells started ringing. So if you know, you've got 11 bedrooms in there, and I'm guessing there's a few more bells in there. That's a lot of bells to start ringing at once. Yeah. So that's scary, especially, you know, with those two being in there. That's terrifying. So since it was an old house, you know, okay. So, you know, in like old houses, how they will have like the doorknob, but they'll still have like the big antique looking key still in the doorknob.
Yes.
Okay. So this is how this house was. And all the keys were left in the holes. They all fell out at the same exact time. Now, as I said, this has 32 rooms in the house. That's a big bang, and that's a lot of keys to be pushed out at once. So the old couple basically decided to leave in 1929. I think they made it maybe barely a year, but they did not last long. They were done with the town's bullshit, and they took off. So again, the rectory was vacant for another 6 months. Which makes you wonder, like, what do the ghosts do in...
when no one's there.
Yeah, and when nobody... It makes me think... I know I keep talking about American Horror Story,
it
but...
It makes me think of that house, too.
Murder like, House.
Where they're all talking.
And yeah, they're all just hanging out and doing their thing.
Scaring each other and shit.
Yeah, like, that's what it makes me think of. So, again, the rectory was vacant for another 6 months. And then a cousin of the original family moved in with his family. His name was Lionel Forrester. His wife's name was Mary Ann, and they had a daughter named Adelaide. As soon as they moved in, everything started. Crashes, bells ringing, footsteps, ghost sightings. But now, we're going to add some odors. And also, baby Adelaide, who was 2 at the time, got locked in her room. They even had messages on the walls for Marianne. They said, "Marianne, help please get." Another one said, "Marianne, light mass candles." Okay, so it's strange because as soon as this family moves in, extra stuff starts happening. As if the other stuff wasn't scary enough, but they're going to take it up a notch. You know what I mean?
Right.
Sounds odd, right? People started to not believe them because they seemed to exaggerate the haunting. A neighbor did believe them. His name was Edwin Whitehouse. He had seen more than enough to convince him that the phenomena was real. He said he didn't see the family set up tricks and didn't think they would. So Harry Price comes back in the picture on October of 1931. Harry Price is like the Warrens, I guess you could say. He kind of pops up everywhere. He brought some colleagues with him, and after investigating, he decided the new things going on in the house were done by Marianne. And there were rumors going around, okay? Here's the thing. There were rumors going around that Marianne was having an affair, and she created all this stuff happening in the house as a distraction so she wouldn't get caught having an affair. Make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So Harry Price told Lionel, and Lionel got mad. He was just pissed. But he wasn't mad at Marianne. He got mad at Harry. He kicked Harry out and told him not to go back. So Harry wrote a letter to Guy Smith, the previous owner, saying the house was haunted but believed Marianne was adding to it. And Harry Price pretty much loved that house, okay? He was upset because he was kicked out and he couldn't go back, and he wanted to go back and figure out what everything was and do more research, and they weren't allowing it. The Foresters started doing seances, and it turned out that Harry Bull, the original owner, would pop up in these seances, which is pretty neat. Two of the Bowles sisters went to a seance and there was a tapping on the mirror. And they said that it was their brother. They knew it was because of something he used to do when he was little. They knew the tapping sound. What is that face you're making?
Just listening.
Okay.
That tapping on mirror crap and...
Oh, yeah.
Different reflection. I just don't like mirrors.
I don't like the mirror thing. They would see dark figures in the driveway and inside. And Lionel...
Like just figures, no faces, stuff like that.
Like dark shadow figures, yeah. Lionel, since day one of moving into the house, he kept a diary of the activity that happened. Which this kind of reminded me of the Bell Witch story that we did, because the owners for the Bell Farm kept a diary of everything that had happened to them when they lived there. But he ended up having three different diaries filled to the gills with all kinds of paranormal activity going on. The Forresters were the last family to live there. They left in 1935. And when they left, guess who came back? Harry Price. He rented the home for a year. Now, Harry had a good idea, though. He put an ad in the paper for people to come stay and write down their experiences. He gave the people instructions so he would have a trustworthy experience. So Eric Howell went with Harry to set up operations room. Because you know on Ghost Adventures where they have their little room that everybody gathers in. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they have that in Ghost Adventures. That's kind of what they set up minus all the equipment because they didn't have it back then. So while they were setting up, they heard two big thumps and some tapping noises above them. Then upstairs, a door slammed shut. Oh, it's not Eric. It's Alec. I'm sorry.
Alec?
Alec. Alec said there's no way Harry could have done that. So from May of 1937 to May of 1938, all of the investigators were to stay there. They did seances, planchet sessions, and so much other stuff. Basically just a ton of ghost hunting shit that they did for a year straight. All the games you're not supposed to play, stuff like that. That's what they did. Which sounds like so much fun. Now, this was pretty cool. During one of the seances, a nun came through that lived on the grounds in the 17th century. She was from France, and her name was Marie Laurie. She was murdered and wanted them to give her prayers. Isn't that sweet? Mm-hmm. So they found out who the nun was that everyone kept seeing. She was murdered there in the 17th century. Now, a man named Sidney said he had a planchette that never worked until he brought it to Borley. As soon as it got to Borley, it started working. It was the same planchette his children, Helen and Roger, were using on March 27th, 1938. Listen to this. They were contacted by a spirit named Sunnix Amures. It said Borley was going to burn down that night at 9 p.m. Sunnix also said after it burnt down, bones would be found in the fire to prove something horrible happened there, and that's why it's so haunted. Ooh. Mm. No fire that night. But exactly 11 months later, on February 27th, 1939, a lamp fell over and burnt the house down. Now, while the house was burning down, people from the town came to watch, because what else did they have to do back then? While they were watching the house burn, they saw dark figures walking through the flames. A police constable saw them and asked who else was in the building. They said no one else. Those are just the ghosts that live there. They did find bones under the cellar floor. A sergeant looked and thought it was fragments of a lady's skull and jawbone. The hauntings continued. The property was demolished in 1944, and a sergeant was walking home one night and had to pass the property, which, no thank you.
Negative.
No. He heard horses and a coach, and he heard it get closer and closer and felt the wind as it passed by. He never saw the horses or the coach, and he saw one little light when it passed by. And this is like just on the grounds after the house burnt down. One man said a stick levitated and shook at him when he tried to walk across the property, basically telling him don't do that. And then there was a Life magazine photographer right before the whole property was getting demolished. His name was David Sherman. He took a famous picture of the whole property. Do you know why the picture is so famous?
Why?
In the doorway, you can see a brick levitating in the Lifetime magazine or the Life magazine picture. Y'all, I looked up this picture and I will post it on Instagram so you can see it. And I've got a couple pictures of it where it's zoomed in and stuff, and you can see it's pretty neat. He said it floated or levitated while he was taking the picture, and then after a few seconds, it just fell. Now, the Borley Church is still there, and since everything has been demolished of the rectory, they've been having a lot more hauntings at the church. It's kind of like all the ghosts was like, well, the rectory's gone, let's just go to the church now. You know, so they've been having a lot more people on Halloween like to camp out around the church and ghost hunt. One man heard, I heard this on another podcast, one man was camping out and heard a tapping outside, and he got out of his tent and he saw two white beings standing there, and he took off and did not come back, left his tent. And when he came back the next day to get his stuff during the daytime, his tent had red stains all over it. I don't know what that is. So we have this. Now, the president of the Society of Physical Research launched an investigation on Harry Price's working methods and found out he was willfully deceptive. But I also kind of feel like Harry Price brought a lot of people into that house. So it wasn't just his word. It was other people's words about what was going on. And I love that. And I feel like there was a lot more to it than what the, you know, what this man said. But Harry Price also wrote a book about it called The Most Haunted House in England. And that is my story.
Damn.
Yes, it's a good one, y'all. And you can still go to the grounds to this day, and it is still extremely haunted. There is nothing there to see, but the grounds are there. And you can go there, and I think you can go see the church also. I'm not 100% on that, but the grounds are there. So, that's it. Did you like it?
Yeah.
It was scary, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Something about nuns and all that stuff always gets me.
The sad nun float. It reminded me a lot of the haunting of Hill House, and then it also reminded me of that movie The Nun. That's why I've been wanting to watch it so much today, because just the nun walking around, I mean, that's very scary. But I think we are about to run out of time, so
are we?
Yeah,
probably so. Yeah,
thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us. We will be back with something fun next week.
Stay cool,
stay cool, hydrate, and make good choices. And
if you don't make good choices, at least have fun doing it. Yeah, and let us know what they were.
It's fine too. Y'all, send a DM and wish Troy a very happy birthday. It is August 1st, that national holiday coming up. And we will see you guys on Sunday.
Bye.
Bye, friends.